It is time for the Rural News Now with Susan Murray. Kia ora, Susan. And only 54 migrants have applied for a special visa to work in the dairy industry.
Good afternoon, Marnie. Yes, as we've reported, the dairy sector is about 2,000 workers short due to the border closure. Last month, the government announced it would allow 200 dairy workers into the country. However, with no spots in MIQ, even with a newly issued visa, it could be 3 to 4 months before workers arrive here. Federated Farmers says with calving underway, it's too late for most farmers and they are doing massive days on farm. Dairy NZ, which is managing the visa application, opened them for 2 weeks initially to gauge interest. Chief Executive Tim Mackle says just 54 applications have been made.
These applications are from the farmers themselves, and look, it's a good start, 54 applications. We've got 200 to fill. Fair to say, for many farmers, the exceptions come later than we'd all have liked, and they're now in the midst of calving, and so accessing staff who aren't available for 3 to 6 months is probably dropped off the immediate priority list for some.
He says of the 54 applications, 13 are for herd managers, 2 for assistant manager roles and 39 for farm assistants.
We'd love the government to reconsider that split of the 200. At the moment it's 150 highly skilled and 50 sort of more farm assistants. What we're finding is that there's more demand for the farm assistants at this point under this class exception approach. The other key thing too is we would dearly love the government to allow sort of a tagging of MIQ spaces directly to each of these applications so that, you know, there is no delay once successful migrants get their application approved, you know, tagging them together. And we would argue that, you know, at the moment with the closures to the Australian border flow, then that should be more doable.
Tim Mackle says the application process will remain open and they expect more people will apply. The government has activated Enhanced Task Force Green in response to the West Coast and Marlborough floods. $500,000 will be made available to support the recovery in the regions. Minister for Social Development Carmel Cipollone says the funding will mean job seekers can be employed to help farmers and growers clear debris and complete clean-up work on their properties. Farmers and growers who need help can apply for assistance online. Fonterra says it will phase out coal use at its Stirling cheese plant in Otago by August next year. The plant will instead use wood biomass to fire the boiler, making it the company's first 100% renewable thermal energy site. The co-op is looking to phase out all coal by 2037. Fonterra spokesman Richard Gray says the Stirling site burns coal to make steam, which is used to produce 55,000 tonnes of cheddar cheese a year.
So when we replace that boiler with a new biomass boiler, that'll perform the same function of producing steam to do that processing and cleaning function.
And it'll work just efficiently?
Absolutely. So I guess there's an efficiency aspect, but with the fuel source now being from renewable energy, the emissions are, I guess, 100% renewable as opposed to using fossil fuels.
Mr. Gray says by switching to wood biomass, the site's annual emissions will reduce by 18,500 tonnes of carbon dioxide a year.
So the difference with moving to biomass from coal is that the carbon dioxide that's released from the burning of the biomass is then absorbed through the next generation of trees that are grown. So it's essentially recycling the carbon as opposed to the carbon coming out of the ground and into the atmosphere and not effectively being recycled into the trees that are harvested.
Richard Gray from Fonterra. Confidence in the venison sector remains low as depressed prices continue. In the year to May, just over 82,000 hinds were processed, 10% above five-year average slaughter numbers. AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crode says this season venison export values have been $3.71 below average.
The North Island venison indicator has been very weak. The seasonal peak was at $5.50 a kg. The South Island market hasn't been much better, but it did manage to hang on just above $6 a kg for the first 5 weeks of the season. If we compare that with the five-year average, both the North and South Island markets are still undercooked by roughly $3 a kilo.
And is that still just because restaurants overseas aren't opening up, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it is. It's also a bit of a seasonal thing as well. So whilst we've seen sort of lamb and beef recover a bit quicker because of the whole restaurant trade reopening. Our venison chilled season doesn't get underway until sort of August, September. So we would hope that once we get into the correct timing of the season, with all those restaurants reopening, that we would see a bit of injection and life back into that venison market.
Mel Crowd from AgriHQ. And now finally to something a little bit more cheerful. Most New Zealand olive growers are celebrating a much improved harvest season, which is just ending. Last year, about a fifth of them didn't pick any fruit. The president of Olives New Zealand, Craig Leaf Wright, says this year overall yields have been better. He says some large producing groves in Hawke's Bay didn't have such a good season, but in his growing region of Wairarapa, with many smaller growers, there were some record picks.
People who didn't harvest anything at all last year have now got crops that they almost don't know what to do with all the olives that they've got. So in our area here, which I'm obviously intimately involved in, the yield has been very, very good. We've had mixed results from down south and further north, where some growers haven't been as successful. But I think generally it's been a reasonably good year for fruit.
Craig Leaf Wright says interest in New Zealand olive oil is increasing.
One of the good things that's come out of the last couple of years and all the difficulties we've faced is the focus on local has sort of pointed people to try local oils, and they've realised that actually we produce some really good oils locally.
Craig Leaf Wright says there are 350,000 commercial olive trees in New Zealand, and in recent years productivity has nearly doubled because of better pruning and disease control.